So we're going to do three sessions. So the first one won't have a lot to do with the beautiful gear in front of you, but I went over to Guitar Emporium and they loaned all this stuff. They're really good guys. We'll get to that in the second part. This first part, though, Bob asked me to talk about biblically talk about guitar, which is a really fun thing because I haven't always done the pedal thing. So I came to the Lord in 2001 pretty radically. I was a writer, I was in a couple rock bands, touring, had a basically in a straight walk into a BMI contract. I had another somewhat major label contract situation, and the Lord met me radically. And I quit everything, and I like cold turkey, everything. I literally was one of those people. It was such a radical thing that just, it was just like, I still can't describe how that felt to walk into something I wasn't looking for. And I was the guy that like, I just took all my CDs and like quit listening to music. I just cut it all off. It was just such an intense thing for me because music was such a big part of my life, and the Lord instantly took me and just changed me. I mean, in a heartbeat. And from that, I was pretty much within 6 months, which I don't know how safe that is. I was involved in a ministry. I traveled all over the country for years. I did everything from almost any denomination you can imagine. I did, a worship team, started writing and singing, and we traveled everywhere. We did all kinds of stuff. I helped plan a church. I met my wife about 3 years into that. Went into Jackson, Mississippi, and helped plan a church. That's how I met Joseph. And so I just have a pretty crazy story of this drastic life change into ministry from no church background at all, really. I remember getting a Bible, and it was around Christmas time. I came to the Lord in the late fall. I remember I got hold of an NIV Bible that was in a lost and found that nobody wanted. And I remember opening up to the Gospels, and I was like, why are these four books like the same thing? It was just such a new experience for me. So all of that said, I went through years and years of really intense things ministry-wise. Taught adjunct faculty worship theology at a college, all kinds of crazy stuff. My wife and I have been involved in Middle East missions work in the 1040 window now for about 10 years. Been to most every major Middle Eastern country. We go in and teach and pastor young adults and teens. So there's all that going on for years and years. But in 2007, I was as burnt out as you can be. It's like, have you ever left something in the oven way too long and it's just like a crisp? I was that, walking around with a guitar on me leading worship. I'd led worship at that point for years and years, and I'll pull this in. Hey, yeah, come on in with me. Yeah, oh. Come on in, I'll close the door. Hello. Hey, man. Just at a big point of burnout, and I had a broken guitar pedal, and I fixed it. It was nothing any of you guys could have done this. It was just like a loose wire thing. But it like triggered something in me. I like went insane. I was like, because I was so burned out over here, I fixed this pedal and I was like, it was just like a desperation to do something else. I mean, I was so tired of ministry. I had just like insane hours and just a really unhealthy environment. I think at that time we had about three worship teams or something. I mean, it was insane. I think I led worship 53 times a week or something. And I never ate. We just had a kid. And it was just insane. I mean, it was like take every joke you have about working too much, and it was like such a reality. It was horrifying. But that the Lord used that in His sovereignty to point me into this crazy business life. And so here I stand. So I never get to merge these two worlds. So I'm either helping assemble rigs for like world tours with some artist, or doing a clinic at a guitar center in some big city, or I change channels. I never merge them. So this is a first. I don't think I've been able to do this. So pretty exciting. It's funny, I went to prepare something to talk about, and it's like there are like two files in my head. You know, I do my business thing. I do that unto the Lord. It's been amazing testimonies of seeing how the Lord's used that. But I don't really, you know, I don't walk up to some famous person and, like, start teaching them the Bible. Like, there's not a, there's no merge of those two files. So this is fun. And I'm just glad to be here. So I have a family back home. I have three kiddos, a wife. I noticed today I don't have my wedding ring on. I had a cycling accident. Anybody bike, cycle? Yeah. I got really into it about 2 years ago. I do these, like, solo 70 to 100 mile rides and stuff. And I wiped out on Father's Day, broke a rib, broke my hand. These stitches here knocked me out. I was on the road, and this guy walks up and taps me on the shoulder and puts me in his truck. It was great. So they had to take the ring off. Yeah, it's a fun story. But yeah, so, you know, my story of being born again, just kind of the Lord found me at a place where I wasn't even looking for him, brought me into this amazing micro tribe of musicians, I would call it. You know, we're a very weird people. We're the people that other people in the church go, there they are, those musicians and their gear and all their questions and what are they doing. And yeah, it's a pretty amazing thing. So yeah, it's a rare experience. So I just want to pray and just go into it. This session, like I said, it's going to be just, I'm just going to go through some thoughts. I don't teach topically anymore a lot at all, so this is fun. I had to, like, reprogram that and kind of just, I'm just going to go through some little micro thoughts with you about how things that over the years have meant a lot to me as a guitarist or worship leader or songwriter in the church. So I'll pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here. We thank you that you divinely saw this moment. You crafted it. You brought us into this place together. Many of us having never met, and yet we're family, and that is a really intense miracle in perspective. We look from a 30,000 foot view at this room from the lens of eternity. We are family, and not only that, we are a very peculiar section of that family, musicians, artists. We're creative people, sometimes misunderstood. Sometimes we deserve that misunderstanding. Sometimes we just look for ways to learn how to do that more properly, how to lock into your heart for what we do, how to be a better worshiper in your sight, not in man's, how to be a person who is humble, how to be a person who can create artistically while still lifting you up. There's a really healthy tension there, and I pray that, Lord, in these sessions we can approach that and talk about it. And we just thank you for all that you are, everything you've done for us, every little moment that brought us to this moment. We recognize your power, your glory, your majesty. We recognize that what you're going to say today is eternally significant, even if it's on little micro levels. And we recognize that the things you'll do after we walk in this room are eternally significant. We take that seriously. I just ask you to be with us. Let my words be useful. And most of all, Lord, you speak to our hearts and you be the king of this room. Amen. All right, so there's a quote on the board. Just so you know, I misspelled Tozier about 10 times. We had to correct that. We were going to go for Tozier, like guitar Tozier. This is one of my favorite quotes. It's in a book. He did it's a sermon or an essay. I don't know. These older guys have like a million books. You ever notice that? Like, if you ever just search Andrew Murray, it's like 7 billion small books. I don't know where they come from. So he's the same way. He has a thing, I think it's called What Happened to Worship, and it's like his repeal against modern worship. And we're talking like, if he saw today, he'd probably lose his mind, you know. So this is a quote out of that book. The essence of Christianity, you guys sit down somewhere. There's a window still. Here's seats over here. Yeah, just put the guitars or whatever. Joseph maybe can lean them over there. They're already relics, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, sit down. So the essence of Christianity is self-denial, and the essence of art is self-expression. Merging the two is very difficult. Let me read it one more time. This is a really amazing expression of a tension in the church. Bob talked yesterday. There's a tension between human and holy, where there's a tension between art and Christianity. It's a real tension. The essence of Christianity is self-denial. So we're called to deny ourselves. We're called to do what God, His will be done. But at the same time, He makes us artists. You know, it's very clear He gives us gifts. This gift of guitar playing or even the pedal thing for me, and many of you guys have all these gifts too, those are gifts. They were handed to you. And yet, there's a tension with a God saying, deny yourself, but hey, here's a gift. It's going to be really hard to do that. There's like this fun to Him. I imagine it being very fun to Him to orchestrate that, this tension in us. Merging the two is very difficult. So there is a tension there. A good example of this that I like to share is basically on a Jazzmaster. Yeah. With a strap that's fallen off. But a good example, you know, is we sometimes see things that the Lord does and we wouldn't do them that way. But this is, so I'm loosening the tension here. Let's take all the tension off. You guys know where I'm going with this. Well, let's see it, though. It helps to see something. So this is like Sesame Street Christianity right here. All right, let's play like Shout to the Lord or something. That's horrible. I don't know. It's pretty good if you add a chorus pedal or something. But check this out. So tension makes this beautiful. And it's something to remember. This is really gnarly. I don't know, if you're like in Europe maybe, I've heard bands distort this out and scream over it. So yeah, tension, if I tune this up, there's a tension that happens, but the beauty of that tension is we tune A440. There's a perfect way to tune that tension, and with the Lord in our hearts, there's a perfect way to tune this tension. So let's talk about that. I wish I hadn't tuned that guitar. I was going to play a song and make fun of myself, but that's okay. There's a song that I used to lead early on when I came to the Lord. So I'm in this band, you know, I'm like a grunge kid. I'm playing Pearl Jam songs in bars and writing my own stuff and into Radiohead and like Kid A and OK Computer were like my, you know, just huge influences on me and my guitar playing and stuff. And the Lord meets me head on. And I'm just like, I just lost the appetite for all that. But, you know, there's still this thing in me that's like, that's music to me. My music was something that the church didn't sound like. So I go right in, and I was just so changed. I was like, I don't care. And I go to this church, and we're sitting there, like, singing the hymns and stuff. And I was like, okay, all right, I'll do this the rest of my life. You know, this is fine. And I remember, anyone ever had that experience? Anyone had the similar experience? Do you realize, for me, it was like, why are there so many chords? Because I'd be like, you know, the Pearl Jam's has like five chords, maybe the bridge you go to a minor, and you're playing some hymn, and it's like, it was exhausting, and I realized I didn't know how to play guitar at that point. But the cool thing was somebody handed me Delirious Glow, and I had this like moment of like, God, you do love me. Because now I've gotten to know Stu and been able to tell him that. It's so fascinating, like, the way they viewed all that. But that was huge for me, was getting into that, seeing that kind of music. I'm trying not to rabbit trail, it's just a fun story. But then Matt Redman comes along into my life, and I think the Father's Song had this song I used to lead called, I don't know if it's called, it might be called John 3:30 or something, but it's like, He must increase, I must decrease, Lord. It's a kind of, you know, anybody remember that song? Well, I went an entire worship service singing it backwards. And it was like some subconscious train wreck that I didn't realize I was doing. So I'm singing, I must increase, you must decrease, Lord. Who's done that? Anybody done anything similar? Anybody? You know what gets you is the direction songs. Like Shout to the East, like you, or like Your Love is Wide or Low or Left or Right. You ever get into those songs? You ever get into the Somebody be honest. Get into that train wreck. Okay. So, but I will always remember this verse, and I think this verse is a start to several verses I'm going to read that help sum up this. So it's just really simple. He must increase, I must decrease. You know, John the Baptist said that. And that's been a real, it's been funny, that's been a real simple moment to bring my heart back to that simplicity. Because I'm going to talk about a lot of stuff, read a ton of scriptures, but it really is that simple. How do we do that as artists? Let him increase and us decrease. How do you practice yet decrease? How do you perfect your guitar playing yet decrease? It's a weird tension. You guys feel what I'm saying? How do you be that person that's bringing excellence to the Lord yet decrease? If you talk to someone who's not a believer, this is like insanity. What I'm saying just doesn't make sense. It's like such an upside down thought. Let me go practice. Let me like pour myself into an instrument. Let me give it all to this thing and then let me hide. Like, who does that? Like, who goes through the trouble of that? So it's very strange. Let me shoot through shotgun some verses at you. Paul says in Corinthians 1, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. That's that tension with being an artist. So there's many more. For if anyone thinks he's something, this is Galatians 6, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So there's like this constant pull of humility in Scripture to know that we don't really know, but yet we do know. He's called us into these things, but yet we're supposed to stay with great humility. John 5, he's talking to Pharisees, and he says, how can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek glory that comes only from God? So in other words, you could lay that lightly over us and say, how do you believe when you just want people to see you play the right Chris Tomlin lick or something, you know, in that song, but you're not concerned with God? And I'm not saying it's not okay to like want to play excellent and please. There is an aesthetic that's godly. There is a bringing people in and doing things in a way that's comfortable and enjoyable. God loves music. He loves what we do. But when we're more focused on that forward thought of who's seeing me, then is he seeing me? That's what Jesus is saying here. That's opposed. There's a friction here. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will exalt you. Galatians 5, keep in step with the Spirit, but I say walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the desires of the flesh list is pretty long, but there's some things in there. You know, there's some envy, there's some rivalry. There's some of these things that they fall into this art category as we live our lives. How do we not gratify those parts of us? How do we just play guitar unto Jesus? How do we do that? Proverbs 25:6, do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. That's a really great verse. I could probably end there, do a little altar call. I mean, that's kind of the statement. Do not exalt yourself in the king's presence. That's a really great thought to chew on. So our flesh wants and desires and craves attention. We want people to know how much we practice. We want them to know how good we are. And we want them to know how awesome our guitar sounds. I mean, can we be honest? Let's commit to that together with our hands up. It's okay. I do want to make a disclaimer. I think this would be like a two-part thing, but I'm going to do it in one. I'm going to lean pretty heavily on the denial part, but just know there's a healthy mix of like, God loves our guitar. He loves what we're doing. If I don't hit that enough, please don't leave here and be like, Josh is saying that God hates the way the guitar sounds and that we should, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bible's full of that too. It's a tension. It's a really good tension of it. But I felt to specifically go here in our heart level, and for us all to just talk about that and check that place in our hearts. So here's some questions for you. How do we keep ourselves in a place of humility as artists? How do we do that? How do we walk a tightrope of self-expression and humility? How do you express yourself and be humble? So let's just prying at us here. This is a living room environment. We're all here in the same boat. How do we do that? I want us to just think about it as I talk. How do we show our talents and giftings as artists, but still hide behind the gospel? Everything about the gospel is humility. everything about it is, man, here I am. I'll talk for me. Here I am at 35 years old. Mm-hmm. I would have never, ever picked to be where I'm at, but I couldn't be more happier. I would have never chose Jesus. I grew up in Alabama. Everyone's saved, literally. I mean, I saw it all from a distance, but I never, I've said many times, like, I wasn't running from God. I just never saw him. I mean, there wasn't any reality to that to me. I would have never chose to walk in this direction. It's just the gospel is such a humbling thing. Like, you can't help but step back and just be, it's like this beautiful humiliation. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I like being humiliated by the gospel, because in that, Christ can really be in me and be seen. And any glory that is in my life, or anything that is something of value, really is from him. And walking in that is such a difficult path sometimes. But yeah, just think about that as guitarists. Like, anything we have, any talents we have, the reason we're here, the reason we love the Lord, all of that. It's a pretty humbling experience. So how do we serve in the background and ensure that Christ and the gospel are in the foreground? So I want you to real quickly entertain me by closing your eyes. I'm not going to ask if you, whatever. So many jokes there. Close your eyes. So we're going to do one of those imagine you're here things. So imagine you're out in a big, huge grass green field. Let's just place it in Ireland. There's birds chirping. There's hobbits to your right. It's got to be really beautiful. It's not necessary, but picture that. So I don't want you in an ugly field. And out in front of you, about 100 yards, so if you don't know yardage, about a football field. If you don't know a football field, just say a long way from you. There's like a tree line. Picture like 100 trees, and they're all like maples and pines and all these different trees, and they all look very different, but it's really pretty. And then all of a sudden, behind you, someone yells, like in a manner that's very frightening and a sense of urgency. They yell, I'm not going to yell over the lapel, they yell, run to the tree. They scream it, and they're just, you would think somebody's chasing them with a hatchet. Run to the tree. So, what would you do? They're just saying, run to the tree. You can open your eyes. What would you do? What piece of information is missing? Which tree? That's a good question, too. But in a moment like that, the why may not matter, because the guy sounds like he's having his arms chopped off. He's like, run to the tree. Ah! You know, there's like, na, 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 na. There's Jaws music playing. So the what tree? So many times we are told to do something, even in scripture, and so many times we are, we know what we should do, and we see how to do it, but we don't really know what that is. So we're kind of in that place here with some of these tensions. C.S. Lewis said a quote that I've always loved, and he said, we can't see something if we don't know what it looks like. So seeing is different than just seeing. There's a level of seeing that is understanding. We can't see something if we don't know what it looks like. Run to the tree. How many of you have experienced life situations where there's a run to the tree? You know, there's a lot of those situations where, on a deeper level, what am I doing? I know I'm supposed to do this, but what is this? What is the tree? So we need to search out the scriptures and see how we do this, what we should look like in the process of this tension. We have to do that for ourselves, and we have to find, because we're all different artists. How many of you are songwriters? How many of you just play electric guitar, acoustic guitar? How many play other instruments? How many paint, poetry, anything? I mean, there's a vast, we're all very different. We're in this little micro tribe, but we're pretty different. I bet we all do very different things. And then some of you guys probably live a very schizo life like me, where I'm like running a business or something, and then I'm an artist, or like there's like two sides of my brain. I feel like I'm losing it half the time. You know, it's like there's a lot of different personalities in here. We have to figure that out for ourselves. Let me state this out. The Bible is 101 where to see what the tree is. So you realize this is a very interesting fact. Do you know you have never seen yourself? What you think about this? You have never actually seen yourself. You look in a mirror, but you see a reflection of yourself. No one in here has ever looked in your face. You've never looked in your own face. Isn't that a crazy thought? You ever thought about that? You've never actually seen your own face. It's like a weird Twilight Zone thing. Like, what if your face isn't your face and mirrors are lying to you? Think about that for a minute. You've never actually seen your face. I've never seen my face. Like all these bike scars I have now, or they're not scars, but they're healing up. I've never actually seen them. I see a reflection of them. And the world will reflect back to you certain views of you. People will reflect back to you certain views of you. But the scripture is the reflection of you that you need to be concerned with. And that goes for all of Christianity, but especially artists and this tension we walk in. Let's look at the scripture in James 1:22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the law, so James is saying the Bible, the law is a mirror. It's a really beautiful illustration. The law of liberty. He says, being no hearer who forgets but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So everything we're doing as artistic people, if we can stare into that mirror of the gospel, the scripture, if we can stare into that and let that speak to us about how we look and need to look and cast off those things to the side, that is the way to tune this guitar. You guys catch me? We don't want to get up on Sunday morning. I mean, maybe you do. Depends on what you're going for, but you got to tune that guitar. And the way to do that is scripture, looking at yourself and what scripture calls us to be. So there are a million trees in front of us as guitarists, things called the trees things. There's a million things there in front of us. The most important, obviously, it's our motivations in our heart. So let's talk about our heart. In the 1700s, there was a guy, Francois Fenelon. He said, make yourself little in the depths of your heart. It's been a favorite quote of mine. Make yourself little in the depths of your heart. John 3:30 says the same thing, but French people say it so much more eloquently. Make yourself little, make yourself tiny in the depths of your heart. I'm a pretty big guy, 6'6", 240. Make myself little in the depths of my heart. We can get so big with who we are. We can get so big with what we've learned. We can get so big with our experiences, people we know, things we do. So we need to constantly be making ourselves little in our heart. The Titanic was, who in here is a history nut? I have this weird obsession with the Civil War. My wife's really worried about me. Can I use this as a support group? I love history though. The Titanic's a really fascinating story. So they build this ship. I guess you call it a ship, large boat. Unsinkable. It's on all the headlines. It's huge. It's massive. The thing was nuts. Have you ever actually seen any of the pictures of the interior and stuff? It's just insane. I mean, it's basically like worth more than the whole town that I live in outside of Kansas. I mean, the thing was nuts. And, you know, they're very braggadocious. They're like, this is it. It's the greatest thing ever. And what happens? It sinks. So there's a really good point for us. We are all as that ship, but you know, what something looks like externally doesn't sink a ship. It's what's under the water. And so in this tension here, what is inside of us, the heart posture? Are we making our hearts small? Are we making, making ourselves small in our heart? If we're not doing that, if we're not living by John 3:30, we go, it's a slow, gradual thing. I've seen it many, many times. It's happened to me where you don't check this. You don't constantly ask the Lord, Lord, help me make myself small in my heart. Lord, be my king. You increase and I decrease. And live that out. Look into that mirror of truth. When we don't do that, there's this gradual slope. It's not like, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like I'm doing great and then all of a sudden my pride goes through the roof. it's just really slow. But then in like 5 years, when I got really burnt out in Mississippi, I mean, it was probably like this. I mean, just real slow. You don't see it. C.S. Lewis said, "Isn't it amazing how nothing happens, but everything's different later on?" Something like that. Paraphrase. It's just like a slow, gradual thing where you don't realize how important you've made yourself. And then underneath those waters in your heart, there's a lot of dangers. You know, the Titanic, just in ice, they didn't see what was happening. At the last moment, they noticed it. But when a ship sinks, it's usually not something from the exterior. It's something way down below. So what's hidden underneath us that others can't see? How can we identify a wrong heart motive in our playing? How can we spot a moment when our art is drowning our humility? Let me say that again. How can we spot a moment when our art is drowning our humility? Because that would be losing the tension here. So I have a question for you. Can I read a whole chapter of the Bible? I know that's strange. It's quick. Are y'all okay with that? We good with the Bible? I mean, I have to ask. It's pretty unusual that somebody just reads a whole chapter. So I'm gonna ask you a question, read a chapter of the Bible, ask you the same question. And this is just a living room moment. Like, I'd love to discuss. This is really fun. I'd like to talk about it. What would you do with your guitar in the setting I'm about to read? I just want you to, as I read it, it's going to feel a little ridiculous because it's not like a totally, you'll get what I'm going at, but there's a motive here and a thing to see through this scripture that should put some perspective on us as artists. And let's specifically think about our guitar playing. I want you all to, you don't have to close your eyes this time, but picture your beautiful guitar that you've got and you're really proud of it. Picture your pedal boards and picture your amp in the back and your fancy in-ears with your name on the side of them. And picture all the cool stuff we have. Picture like the patch cables you bought, and they're all beautiful. I want you to just picture all this stuff. There's so many other things. Picture it all as I read this, and then I'm gonna ask the question again. "At once I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian, and around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder." I'd be out right there. I'd be like, my guitar's not going to work here. "And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal." This is a crazy image, and it's phenomenal. "And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second like an ox, the third with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the fourth living creatures, each of them with 6 wings, full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come.' And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast all their crowns before that throne, saying, 'Worthy are you, O Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created.'" This is not just a Carrie Job song. It's a really great song that no one can decide the key of. What would you do on your guitar? Isn't that like such a crazy thought? Like, it's just like a kind of a crazy thought. Like, that is like this reality of this state that is real. And we do what we do. There's nothing wrong with this. We do our service in a way that, you know, the church functions in a way that God has ordained it to function in. He loves it. We do our things on Sundays. Some of us do other nights. We do other things. And we get through these processes. We come into our buildings. We do this and that. But there is this other parallel that is a very hard to put into reality of worship happening. Isn't that wild to think about? And how would you hold your guitar in the midst of that? What would you do with it? I believe that Jesus loves the guitar, and I'll get into that. I believe that he created it for his purpose. I mean, there's nothing bad about the guitar. But I'm just wanting to paint like this far image of like how far we may can get in our hearts. How large have we made ourselves in our heart? When you read a scripture like Revelation 4, I really go, I am not making myself small in my heart as I could. You guys agree with that? You read those scriptures, it's just so amazing to take that in literally and just go, wow, yeah, the color of my guitar, not really, doesn't really matter. It's not important. You know, would you toss in a cool guitar lick at that point? Would you be concerned with how your new jeans fall over your skinny boots? Would you really care if you had like the new version 4 Morning Glory by JHS? Absolutely not. You wouldn't care, would you? So a good perspective. Praise is a contradiction to pride. Pride says, look at me. And praise longs for others to look at Jesus. Pride says, look at me. And praise longs for others to look at Jesus. So pride is a contradiction to praise. And once again, there's a tension here. How much time? Is it 12:30? It is? Oh, so I've
only got 2 more hours.
I'm ready. Yeah, is this okay? Are we good?
Yes.
Not much guitar playing going on, but I hope it's good. A famous conductor was asked, what is the most difficult instrument to play? And he replied, second violin, because everybody wants to play first violin. It's a real quote. It's really funny, really sad, really true. We've all been there. It's really hard to strike that tension. So how can we align our heart and mind as artists with the reality of the gospel? Just a couple points that have always been really good for me. We're getting pretty close to wrapping here, but these are 2 points that I've held on through the years for different reasons. Number one is I want to play my guitar with an entire creation. When we solo ourselves out, we solo ourselves out. But when I pick up this guitar and I realize that the Word of God says, and I heard every creature in heaven and earth, under the earth and in the sea, and all of them saying, to him who sits on the throne, blessing, honor, glory, might for Carrie Job again. Gotta love her. I'm just gonna wear that joke out. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. I hold my guitar, and out here, this Kentucky sky, which may pour hot rain at any moment while the sun is shining, it's actually praising God. Do you see this huge picture? Like, we can get so internalized, like, how's this working? How's my tone? But, like, everything is praising God, and you're not in that alone. Like, we're used to like, hey, there's my drummer, my bass player, we're gonna do this. We're used to that. Everybody, you know, the band thing is great, but it actually goes so far beyond the band. Do you realize, like, my wife has this thing, she's so type A, unlike me. We'll go into a church and she's very administrative and she's always the person with the clipboard, you know, when working churches. And she'll go into a church and she'll spot every plant on the platform and like reorganize them in her mind. You know anybody like that? So you're up there playing, and like, even if there's like a potted plant on the stage, it's actually praising God. Isn't that crazy? There's a reality of creation is praising God. It's declaring the majesty, the power, the wonder, the insane beauty, the sovereignty. It's an amazing thing to just, everybody look out the window, find the most boring natural thing out there. Just somebody turn around and look. Just find something you think's boring, like a stick that's broken. God made that to give glory to himself. So let's fall into that as musicians. That really helps centers. There's a healthy way of being really small in this creation, seeing how small you are It's a really healthy thing to look out and join with a mass choir, a mass herd of worshipers, worshiping things, creation. It's a really healthy thing. It's always been good for me. And another thing, Paul's talking to Thessalonica, and he's on this whole other subject, but he basically makes one statement, and it rings true throughout all of life. He says, we are not a people without hope. He's talking about a whole other difficult situation. He says, we're not a people without hope. So play your guitar towards hope. That's something that has always, the last 5 years for me, has rung so true when I get in the haze of the chord charts and all this stuff. I just want to think about playing my guitar unto hope. Guys, I work with like some of the crazy most, there's just people that can't even walk down the street. They're like annoyed, you know, like paparazzi type rock stars. I go into these rehearsals, I go into these situations with these people, and they're so good at what they do. Like, they're just freakishly talented people. They've worked their butt off, they're amazing. They've gotten everything they want. Some of these guys are like, they've done it all. I mean, literally, like awards, Grammys, like they have anything they want, and they have no hope. Think about that. They have everything. They're on stages, like playing guitar. Like we look at these people, we look at these people and go, that is so insane. Like, that, I wish I could do that. The guy we were talking about earlier, like, we just like idolize these guys as musicians. We look at them and just go, it's like breathtaking to watch some of these people. Some songwriters that just like, they could just like crap out a song in like 4 minutes. And it's just so much better than anything I've ever heard or dreamt of doing. But they don't have any hope. It's such a humbling thing to walk around this world and go and just see hopelessness that doesn't realize it's hopeless. There's so much hopelessness that doesn't realize that it's hopeless. But yet we can pick up our guitar and not even tune it. I keep going back to this, it sounds great. We can pick up this guitar with 4 chords in a living room with a couple friends singing a worn out song from the 90s and do it unto hope, and it opens up the heavens. Isn't that crazy? I don't even know what I want to say after that. It's so inspiring. Like, I want to, it feels good. I feel like I'm preaching to myself. There's so much hopelessness, and yet throw my guitar away. Burn the guitar. Give me a rubber band and a pencil or something. I have hope. I just hope you're seeing that perspective of like, that is how to make us small in our heart. It's to realize there's a hope out there. It's to realize that we play with an entire creation. So here's one more thought, and I want to kind of wrap it up. I've had this transition in my life where I appreciate liturgy, finally. The way that I came to the Lord, I would call it, I talked with Bob a little bit about this, I came through the gates of charismania, you know, very different than liturgy, very different than, that's just how I came to the Lord, that's how he did it. And the older I've gotten, I have had this amazing transition into appreciating what that is. So like, you guys, give me a couple examples of liturgy. Like, what's something that maybe you love about liturgy? Anybody? Just name it. What is a liturgy? Let's just talk about it for a second. Anybody? I like that. Yeah. Yeah. See, I've learned that. I didn't know I needed that. It's really good. Anybody have a specific thing that you really enjoy with liturgy? That you, yeah. Anything else? Just a feeling maybe that it gives you. For me, I'm with him. I think for me, it's been the most healthy thing to have this. For me, it's been the consistent reminder of where I am and where he is. In a very consistent, orderly, repetitious way. Because guys, I, at the heart of it all, I say this knowing that God created me, I'm just going to say it, like, I am so dumb. Like, I forget. I don't even know who I am half the time. I'm like, you know, I struggle with that stuff. And that liturgy just keeps me right there. It's beautiful. Like, just to have a pattern and an order. And my background, no, didn't exist. Nothing like that. So think about guitar as a liturgy. How can you do that? For me, that's been something that's developing in me, is placing my guitar and my playing into that. How can this guitar point me to the gospel when I pick it up? I'm just throwing these thoughts out. I want you guys to chew on them, take them home. This is something that the Lord's working in me. I'm wanting to place this in here just like other parts of things that remind me of the gospel and put me on a consistent path. How can your guitar, your instrument, your painting, whatever your art is, whatever your self-expression is, how can your self-expression fall into that? How can it be a liturgy? And this verse to me, man, over the last 5 years has helped me, because I'm not a business guy. I got into the pedal thing, and I struggled. Joseph was around at this time. He actually worked with me and built some of the early stuff. So if you get a Joseph Habib signature built pedal, you might want to claim the warranty. I'm joking. But I went from, like, my identity was teaching and leading worship. I went through this transition of, like, ministry was a platform. Just hands down, I'm not even going to beat around the bush. That's how it became to me. It was my identity. Then all of a sudden, I'm, like, in a basement soldering for, like, 18 hours a day when I started this. It was intense. I didn't want to do it. I wanted my kid to eat. That was number one. It was fun, but it was so intense for me. I didn't know how to run a business. I didn't even pay taxes, like, for the first 2 years. That was really painful. I didn't know anything. I mean, I can't express to you what I did not know. My parents didn't graduate high school. They were from large families. I have nothing about me from rural cowpoke Alabama says run a business, travel all over the world, and work with famous people. It's like a joke. It's like the most hilarious thing ever. It just doesn't equate. It's crazy. It's humorous. I'm the first to say, like, it was so painful for me to transition through that. And this verse really changed my life. I heard a guy speak, and this was some of the context. It's something we've all read. It's about the preeminence of Christ. Colossians 1:15 through 17. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, and visible and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. This guitar is one of those all things. These silly pedals that I was sitting there soldering and the fumes are going up my nose and I didn't know to extract that. That's a story for later when I had to go to the emergency room and there's blood pouring on my face. All of that is part of the all things. All means all, or it doesn't mean anything. All things. And I had to realize everything about the guitar, all its extremities, are in God's plan and have always been in God's plan. God didn't see Leo Les Paul and Leo Fender back in the 50s come up with this and go, that has my seal of approval. That didn't happen. We think like that, though. He's not up there lounging, watching Gilmore Girls, and then all of a sudden he sees, like, that's pretty cool little amp there you got, that Princeton thing, that Fender. Oh, and he didn't look down at Mr. Ernie Ball and go, you, like, invented a light guitar string so people didn't have to shred their fingers off. He didn't look down at that. He didn't look down when the Kinks are in London recording. They unload a truck. They shove something through the speaker. They get into the session. The guy starts playing, da-na-na-na-na. The guitar amp's fuzzed out. He looks at an engineer. They record it. It's a hit. And they ask a dude to make a pedal. He didn't look down and go, that's a really cool series of events. I'm going to jump in on that. He saw it. He walked it through. He imagined it. His hand was on it. And I literally learned that soldering with fumes up my nose and emergency room, all of that, it's part of his purpose and plan. The guitar is part of his purpose and plan. All things are made by him and for him. So to make the guitar a liturgy is really simple. You hand it back to him. He made the guitar for him. I really hope that in eternity I can play a guitar with Jesus, because he's going to be pretty baller. I think that's a fun thought. I don't think it's too crazy either, because we don't know. We don't know what's going on. We see so dimly. Like, can you imagine? I mean, can you imagine how crazy that is? Because, you know, we read about how Lucifer was, and he literally had instruments within him. And all. Imagine Christ. Imagine God himself playing an instrument. I love to think about that. It's a really fun thought. So, do we see the guitar as Jesus sees it? How do we display the gospel in playing a guitar? You know, I wish there was a 3 Corinthians that, like, discussed tone and stuff. Maybe there is. Joseph, is there in your studies? Yeah, if you find the third... Yeah, if you find the lost 3 Corinthians... I feel like the Corinthians had some really good tonal things going on. They stack their delays and their overdrives perfectly. Strymon actually designed many of their effects out of 3 Corinthians. So I'm going to read a couple more quotes, and then I want to pray specifically for you. We can just chat, or you can go home, whatever you want to do. I'll just touch with 2 of my favorite quotes that touch self-expression. Because self-expression is good. If I had another session that I could teach in, I would equally swing both ways, because it's very important. And I think what I just said about making it a liturgy is self-explanatory. God didn't accept guitar as usable. He ordained it. It's here because he made it. He wants it. So that's self-explanatory. So if he created it and he wants it, he wants you to express worship with it, you know. So I just want to be really clear that I love both sides. So a couple quotes I've enjoyed. Another one by Togere. I'm literally correcting the spelling as I stand here. Okay. Thank you, Joseph. Earlier he's like, that's not how you spell that. No, you are. You are the one. I'm not here to be grammatically correct. He says, if the Holy Spirit should again come upon us as in earlier times, visiting the church congregations with sweet but fiery breath of Pentecost, we would be greater Christians and holier souls. Beyond that, we would also be greater poets. We'd be greater artists, greater lovers of God and his universe. That is an amazing quote. Beyond that, we would also be greater poets, greater artists, and greater lovers of God and his universe. Art was created to draw us into him. And in the movement of God and the movement of him in our hearts, those things become even more vibrant, alive. You guys, it's a really cool thing. You have swans out there in your parking lot. This place is crazy. It's like an X-Files episode. It's raining again. Another quote. John Wesley said this. Be aware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sang the songs of Satan. Above all, sing spiritually. Have an eye to God in every word you sing. Aim at pleasing him more than yourself or any other creature. So use those gifts. Sing loudly. Play loudly. Turn your drive pedals on. Crank your amp. Do it all. Capo on the 13th fret. Like, do it all unto God. I want to close with this. I felt this a couple weeks, like, just kind of, like, thinking through what would this be like. And I feel like I want to just pray for you guys in an area that I discussed, talking about burnout. And I think it's just a really real subject that's never approached much. How many of you guys have thought about it, close to it, just the feeling of burnout in what you do with your instrument, with your worship leading, with your playing, just that routine, constant routine, where you find yourself, you're just numb, you're like in the motions. I think it's a pretty realistic thing for a lot of us. So in John 4, I want to pray for you. all about this subject, but I just want to share a really quick thing. In John 4, we have Jesus is really tired. He's been traveling, and he stops by this well, and he rests. We all know. It's like flannel graph Christianity. Like, we all know the story. Then a woman comes along, right? We all know I'm not even going to get into her story, but she comes along, and what is she doing? Somebody tell me, what's the woman doing? Drawing water. Think about her daily life. Did she draw water every day? Yeah, I think it's pretty logical. Every day she's drawing water. That has to be, I was born in 82. I've never drawn water in my life. It looks tiring. It looks like just part of a routine that you do to survive. It doesn't seem excited. Does anybody get excited about drawing water? So is there somebody in here that's like a hardcore camper or something? You know what I'm saying? It's just a routine, right? She's doing that every day. How many days? Is anybody good at math? Let's use you. You got to be really good. It's going to be simple. Let's say this woman was 35. I don't know. Let's say she started doing water. Let's be generous and say at 20. I don't know. So 15 years of her life, every day she drew water. Let's just assume. How many days did she draw water? 15 times 365. See, I even knew that. So that's probably about how many times you guys that have played for a long time have been in some worship service, maybe. I mean, it's pretty crazy. Like, how many worship services have you played in? It's kind of nuts, isn't it? You don't think about it. You don't think about, or even count your rehearsing, or count your ripping your pedal board apart and putting it back, all of that. Just like we do that every week, all of us. So how many? Let's just say, for the sake of explanation, she drew water like 5,000 times. That's really mundane and not exciting. But guess what? Jesus met her in the mundane. Such a cool thing. Like, we love the flannel graph version, you know, go tell everybody, and why do we worship, and there's a mountain. We love all that. It's like beautiful. But sometimes the beginning of one of those stories, like this story, man, that's one of the most powerful things for me, because I work a job. I work like 100,000 hours a week. And I mean, that hits me at home. How many does that hit you at? Jesus will meet you in the mundane 5,000 times you've carried the same dirty, heavy bucket of water. He cares about that. And you know the really cool thing? He not only met her there, he was exhausted too. He knows how it feels to do that. You guys see the beauty of that one little? It's like, I was talking to Joseph yesterday. The scripture is like five words is just enough to blow your mind for 10, 20 years. It feels, to me, that story. Jesus is tired. He sets down at the well. Do you think he knew what was coming? Yes. But he's experiencing the tiredness. How many of you have been or are tired of sometimes leading worship and playing guitar? Let's be real. Let's be really open with each other. He knows what that feels like. And yet he goes and sets down, and this woman's coming along with this burden, this thing that's just part of life. It's part of what she's assigned to do. It's like part of everyday survival. It's part of her act. It's part of just how life works. And she, in that mundane, over and over, I think about clocking in. I think about that a lot. Guys that, you know, a lot of you guys just clocking in day in, day out. Jesus is waiting right there, and he wants to meet you. You guys that get up at Sunday morning at 5 a.m. I did a portable church plant, and Joseph was part of that. It's painful. We met in like this Catholic gym. What time did we get there to set up? It was insane. And we not only set up, it wasn't like setting up a Fender Passport. It was like setting up like, you would have thought the Foo Fighters were going to come play there or something. And what, like 50 people show up like the first year? It just feels so like, And then you get there like 5:30 a.m., I think, lining up chairs with a rope so they're straight and like all this. Just, he meets us in those points. So I want you to just close your eyes, and I just want to pray for you. And I just want to close out. Jesus, I am so grateful for these worshipers here in front of me. I am so grateful to be here. I'm so thankful that you see us, that you are high above us, but yet you see so far into us. And Lord, in this room, there are so many stories, there's so many situations, there's so many even hurts and fears. There's so many things that are way down under the water. There's so many beautiful things in this room. There's so many victories. There's so many things that you have grabbed the hand of these in front of me and led so well. But Lord, in that mixture of amazing mountaintops and valleys that are just seriously hard, I pray that you meet these people. I pray that as they go into their churches, as they leave this conference, that this tension of art and Christianity becomes something they think about. That's step one. And then, Lord, I pray that you take them the rest of the way. And I pray that in their weariness, these that are weary, the worship leaders that get up early, that go to bed late, that do other things that have nothing to do with worship leading, I pray that you meet them at their well. I pray that you meet them in the places that are difficult. And Lord, I pray for these worshipers here, not only that you meet them, but that they see that in your sovereignty, you're already there. That you've gone before them and you are waiting on them in the moment that they needed you. Open their eyes to see that you care beyond anything they could ever imagine. That you've been sitting in the place of burnout waiting on them. You brought them there so that you can give them living water, that you can refresh them from the very well that exhausts them. There's so many people in this room, Lord, that they are burnt out worshiping, yet you're sitting there wanting to refresh them with worship. The very well that is exhausting to these people is the well that is refreshing. I pray that you turn the situation, that you turn the heart, that you touch the heart. In one millisecond of a millisecond, you can change the human heart in any direction, way, form, style, anything you want to do, Lord. And I pray right now by the power of your Spirit that you touch these hearts, that you bring refreshing, that you just revitalize the calling of being a worshiper, that you imprint Revelation 4, that scene of a throne room, that you imprint Colossians 1:16, that all things are made by you and for you, that the guitar they're holding, the keyboard they're playing, the drum they're beating on, the voice that's coming out of their mouth into the microphone, it's all for you. And Lord, I just thank you for these guys. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Amen. That's all. 10 minutes early. It's a miracle. I really enjoyed this, guys. So we got two more sessions. We'll play guitar in the next one and try not to be too loud. So I'm going to talk about, I just wanted to go really simple. So I have the problem of being a really huge nerd with gear. Because, I mean, it's just become a thing where I have a massive collection of gear. I've studied gear now for so long. So I want to just talk. I'm going to start at like a basic level that I think a lot of people are at, which is a phenomenal place to be. What's different about amps? What's different about guitars? Why do you have so many pedals? Like all those kind of questions. So I just want you to be, you're going to be eating your sandwich at lunch or whatever, just think about some of those simple questions. Like, I want to hear the most simple questions, and let's kind of go from there to the complicated ones. We can demonstrate. I'll demonstrate. This is my personal board here, and then this is just a random JHS demo board, but we'll just kind of, I'll show you some stuff I do. It's going to be really uninspiring, possibly, but I'll show you stuff that I do, and then I'll kind of show you even some time, I'll leave it set up, and maybe you guys can find ways to come in here and noodle or whatever. But yeah, just kind of like your guitar 101, like equipment. I think that was the best thing. That's kind of where I felt to just kind of jump in 101. So go to lunch and just thanks again.